Okay, let's have a look at this now, please. Now, first of all, in Isaiah 53, we must hurry through Isaiah 52, verse 13, we have an introduction here. And it is a short piece, and this is probably why it's broken off from the 53rd chapter. But this particular section in verses 13 through to 15 of Isaiah 52 takes us on the whole of the career of the Messiah. First of all, we are to look at him and the pictures that we have. Remember we said look, when there's look and behold, it's click, 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 picture, picture with captions. So here we have behold. What's the first picture? A highly exalted figure. A highly exalted figure. There it is. Behold my servant, look at him, shall deal prudently. He shall be exalted and extolled and very high. So in this quick portion, we have the exalted servant far above all principalities. And then he plunges down into the depths of suffering. So great, he doesn't even look like a human, has been the sufferings that he goes through. And then he is exalted again. We have all of that in the epistles, do we not? Yeah, Philippians chapter 2. So here quickly, we have a condensed form of the remaining song. It's a summary of the whole prophecy of Isaiah 53. First of all, his exaltation, his crowning glory, exalted very high. Then degradation, deep suffering, disturbing disfigurement, marred more than the sons of men. So great was his suffering. You know, sometimes we can see the suffering of people on their faces and on their being. We know that. I remember a dear friend of mine who I worked with, he said to us, don't come to me and visit me in hospital. Remember me as you knew me, because he was fading away. Fading away with a cancer. Yeah. So for the Lord Jesus Christ, in his sufferings, it was so great. He was marred more than the sons of men. What suffering. But here we have also the idea of lustration. Not only will be he a conquering king, but he'll also be a high priest. Now all the officers in the theocratic kingdom are separated. Prophet, priest, king. But in the Lord Jesus Christ, they're all joined together. And when he comes back again and reigns, we'll find that he is going to be a priest on his throne in Jerusalem. Zechariah chapter 6. He has all of these powers. In the old theocratic kingdom, they are all separated. But when the king comes, all of these ministries on behalf of mankind will be joined together, and he will be prophet, priest, and king on the throne of David in Jerusalem. And what will he do? He will sprinkle many nations. He will cleanse them. He will purify nations. What a blessing. America purified. Australia purified. India purified. Why? Because they've turned to the Lord Jesus Christ, and when he arrives and when he returns, there are those who have gone through the tribulation, the goats have gone through the tribulation, and they will go into the kingdom, and nations will be there. What a day when it says in the prophet Jeremiah, no one will need to say to his neighbour, do you know the Lord? And everyone will know the Lord, from the least to the greatest. That's the days that are coming. The coming of the kingdom. The theocratic kingdom of the Lord Jesus Christ, who will be prophet, priest and king. All in the things that he's going to reveal to us in the coming days. And then there's consternation. Look, it's going to be so great, it says, the kings will shut their mouths. There's something about a king. They're always saying something. Always got the authority. So we've got President Trump, ScoMo, all that they're saying. teeth. Yes, they know they can answer all the problems. They can answer all the objections and whatever. And, excuse me, blah, blah, blah. But the time will come when they see the Lord Jesus Christ, their mouths will be shut. Won't be able to say a word. I would praise God for every leader that knows the Lord and is true to his conscience and so on. But you understand here. Or will there be objections? Psalm chapter 2. Why did the heathen rage? Why do the heathen rage? Why do the leaders of this world plot against the Lord and his anointed? The Lord sits in the heavens and laughs at them. He'll be king. Oh, I've got my king ready to go on Mount Zion. And they'll shut their mouths. Hallelujah. And then there's a revelation. They'll say, we never realized who this person was. We thought he was an imposter. But they'll realize he's the Lord of glory. Now just a few remarks here regarding the remainder of the chapter. I'm now going over to page 8. Just a little more detail here. Actually, page 8 will be our last page, but just some introductory things here. Remember, all of these are poems and songs, and if you have such as the NIV, New King James Version, RSV, you will see all of this set out as poetry. Set out as poetry. It is poetry. It's Eastern poetry. It's Hebrew poetry. And as such, there are verses or stanzas. And each one has a particular theme. First of all, there is the introductory stanza, which we have just quickly looked at. And then in Isaiah 53, in verses 1 to 3, we find that there are historical details. There are historical details, and it has to do with the early life of the Messiah. And then after the historical details, we find there are some theological statements, or some doctrinal statements, that tell of the significance of this person. And then as we go through a little further, we find in the continuing verses, we find more historical statements, but they're the closing years of the Messiah. And then we find a doctrinal exposition of that. And we see a great contrast. The first is the lamb. And then the second one is the lion. You have a think about this. Go home and read these verses and have a think about them, yes. And one thing that we have noted here, which we mentioned in the last session, we must make a distinction between the sufferings that are inflicted by God and the sufferings that have been inflicted by man. So often, we concentrate the sufferings inflicted by man, such as Mel Gibson's movie, but we don't ponder what God was doing to his beloved son, is being wounded for our transgression. God drawing his sword and slaying his son on our behalf. So we have these details, and very quickly, we have the Isaiah 53, 1 to 3, we have these details regarding the early life of the Lord, and it is historical. Isaiah is puzzled by the response of all of this revelation. Who has believed our report, and to whom has the hand of the Lord been revealed? He's transported down to the time of the Messiah and sees his life and goes to Calvary and records it for us. And he is puzzled. Who has believed it? Unbelief was such a thing that caused the Lord Jesus Christ to weep. And who has really had this revelation from God? Now this is what's going to happen. He will grow up. He will grow up before him, before his father, as a tender plant.